We'll lift you up tonight, Father. Come and worship him tonight. He's greater than the greatest. He's higher than the highest. Stronger than the strongest. The Almighty God, all powerful one. Dependable Allah, reliable God, unchanging changer. Our joy, our comfort, our hope, our strength, our Redeemer. We worship you tonight. We magnify your name tonight. Have your way in this place tonight. We glorify your name. Nothing like the presence of God. Nothing like the presence of God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for precious comfort. Holy Spirit, once again, we just depend on you. We look up to you tonight. Let nobody leave here the same way they came in the name of Jesus. Let every need be met in the mighty name of Jesus. Let every burden be lifted. Reveal yourself to us in a new way. We give you all the glory tonight. Come on, if you are confident that God is going to do something new, come on, give him a shout of praise. God bless you guys. You can have our seats in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Want to thank God for the rare privilege he has given us once again to be in his presence tonight. Amen. By the special grace of God tonight, the Lord is going to be leading us on another journey. I'll be sharing with us on the subject of waging spiritual warfare successfully. Waging spiritual warfare successfully. We are in a warfare. I don't know whether you realize that or not. Hello? I said we are in a warfare. How many people know we are in a warfare? We are in a warfare. 2 Corinthians 10. That is where we're going to take our text from. 2 Corinthians 10 from verse number 3. Paul speaking. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war. Please notice that word, war. We do not war against what? The flesh. We are walking in the flesh, but our warfare is not against what? The flesh. Verse 4 now says, for the weapons of our warfare. So that suggests that you and I have weapons. And that also suggests that we're in a warfare. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of what? You can see what those weapons are for. They are not for decoration. They are for the pulling down. Say, somebody say pulling down. Of strongholds, not only that, verse 5 says, casting down what? Imaginations. And every item that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all what? Disobedience. When your own obedience is what? Fulfilled or complete. Like I did mention, I'll be sharing a new series of messages from today titled Waging Spiritual Warfare Successfully. Waging Spiritual Warfare Successfully. In other words, another way you can look at this message is how to wage spiritual warfare successfully. In other words, how you and I can be victorious. The essence of this message is to show us and to reveal to us how we can be victorious in the spiritual battles of life. God's intention and God's desire is for you and I to be victorious. There's no doubt about the fact that God's intention is clear, that you and I be victorious. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14, now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. Someone say always. He didn't say sometimes. That's to tell you that God wants to win. Not some of the time, not most of the time, but all of the times. 1 John 5 verse 4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Whatsoever. That includes your dreams, your vision, and yourself. Inclusive. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I don't know whether you realize it or not that there's a spiritual warfare over your life. There's a spiritual warfare over nations. There are spiritual warfare over destinies. There are spiritual warfare over territories. There are a lot of examples in the Bible. And the earlier we realize this, the better. That's why we can't take things for granted. You can't live anyhow. You can't do anyhow. Because there is what? There is a spiritual warfare that is raging. There's a spiritual warfare that is going on. And you see, the plan and the mind of God is for you and I to be victorious. I feel like telling somebody here tonight, it doesn't matter what kind of warfare may be going on over your life, over your family, over your finance, over your destiny, you will be victorious in the name of Jesus. I said, you will be victorious in the name of Jesus. You see, that is why it's so vitally important for you and I to know how to wage war. See, how to wage war. Spiritually. You need to know how to wage war spiritually in order to be victorious. At times, people don't know how to wage spiritual war effectively. I've seen ignorance in manifestation. We've seen religion in manifestation when it comes to waging spiritual warfare. And that's why at times, such kind of schemes and devices does not put people over. Rather, people are still in the same condition, same scenario they are. I'm very confident, I'm trusting God in the name that is above rather than the name, that God is going to use this series of messages to position you in the place where you belong in destiny. You will begin to reign and rule and walk upon your high places in Jesus' name. For you to know the importance of why you need to know how to wage spiritual warfare effectively, I remember a story, I think I've shared the story here before. While I was going to secondary school, I first attended the boarding school for the first 1 year before I left and I came to another school. I remember somebody was telling me, they was saying, when you get to school, make sure this Bible, keep it under your pillow. You say it's going to ward off all the attacks of the enemy. And I obeyed it dutifully. Amen, somebody. I kept the Bible under my pillow, but to my greatest surprise, I discovered that it did not help me to overcome in the spiritual battles that I was facing. So I decided to change the direction. I felt probably it should face a particular direction. Maybe it was not facing the north or the south or the west. It doesn't matter how I change the direction, the result was still the same. What I'm trying to tell you is that there's a way you ought to wage spiritual warfare. Listen, putting the Bible under your pillow will not make the enemy not to come and disturb you. Amen, somebody? Putting the Bible under your pillow. You know, some people have higher regard for the Bible, which is okay. than the word of God in their heart. So it's important for you to know that there's a way. Chapter 7, there's a way. You wage spiritual warfare. And by the special grace of God, I'm trusting God in this series, we're going to look at some of the ways that you can combat, you can fight, and come out victorious. And you will be victorious in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we use the right kind of tools, when you use the right kind of weapons, you are bound to overcome. But if you deploy the wrong kind of weapons, you will not be victorious. And I want to believe that the Holy Spirit will shed light, illumination, that will put you over in your spiritual battles in Jesus' name. Now, as a way of laying a foundation on this subject, I want to share with you very briefly why you need to know how to wage spiritual warfare successfully. Why should I know how to wage warfare successfully as a child of God? Why is it important that I know how to do it? The first reason is because you and I have an adversary. Listen to me, God's people. We have an enemy. His name is called Mr. Satan. Amen, somebody? Amen. In fact, he has several names. His name is called Satan. His name is called Devil. His name is called, what else again? Adversary. If you look at 1 Peter 5 verse 8, it says that you should what? Be sober, be vigilant. Now, what does that mean? Be alert. That tells you that there's an enemy that is lurking in the background. Be sober, be vigilant, because what? Your adversary. I discovered something that this word, the meaning of this word, your adversary, actually means an opponent in a lawsuit. That's who Satan is. He is our opponent. Satan is not a friend, he's a foe. Satan is not for you, he's against you. Amen, somebody. The earlier we realize this, the better. You see, that word, the devil, what does it mean? That word, the devil, it literally means a transducer. T-R-A-D-U-S-E. Who is a transducer? A transducer is a slanderer. Somebody who seeks to defame. Somebody who seeks to slander. Listen, that is who Satan is. Amen, somebody? He's a false accuser. That's why they call him the accuser of what? The brethren. Now, the earlier you know this, the better. In fact, that word Satan actually means the accuser. That's his name. In Revelation 12, verse 12, when Satan was cast down into the earth, there was a declaration. It says, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. Why? It says, because the devil, say the devil, Revelation 12 verse 12, it says, because the devil, listen to this, has been what? Released. He has been released upon the earth. He is coming with great wrath. Why? Because he knows that his time is short. Hello, somebody there? Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, you have an enemy. You see, the earlier we know this, the better. You see, that's why you need to know how to wage spiritual warfare successfully. There's an enemy. The enemy of our soul. The enemy of our destiny. The enemy of our blessing is Satan. And the earlier you know this, the better. If you understand what I said, say amen, somebody. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11. It says, lest Satan get an advantage over us because we are not ignorant of his devices. Listen, God told me some time ago, he said, if Satan will not get an advantage over you, you must be aware of his devices. He's a crafty man. Amen, somebody? That's why the Bible, speaking about spiritual warfare in Ephesians 6, I think it's verse 11, it says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor. Say the whole armor. Look at this. Put on what? The whole armor of God. Why? So that you can stand against what? The wise. You see, that word wise means methods. Listen, Satan is a man of strategies. But listen to me, he who is in Christ, we who are in Christ, we are victorious by the blood of the Lamb. So tell your neighbor, say, that is why you need to know how to wage spiritual warfare. Listen, if you don't know how to wage spiritual warfare successfully, you won't be able to put the devil where he belongs. If you are going to put the devil where he belongs, then you must be able to wage spiritual warfare. I think I've shared this funny story before. There was an all night that was going on, and in the process of the all night prayer meeting, a call was made that we want to scatter the head of Satan now. Let everybody get ready. So everybody was, you know, getting ready physically. Say physically, somebody. Listen, that's not how you deal with Satan. Amen, somebody. You don't fight Satan in the flesh. Are you in the house tonight? You don't fight. You see, listen, Satan will just be laughing. Such kind of things does not impress him. Rather, he will be laughing. But see, when he knows, when he sees a believer who knows how to engage him in spiritual warfare, he runs. You know a dog, how a dog runs by putting his tail under his what? His two legs. That's how Satan will run from you. Tap it up and say the God of peace has bruised Satan already and is under your feet. If you believe that, say a better amen. This is why you and I must know. You know, there is this erroneous concept that when it comes to engaging in spiritual warfare, effectively, it is something that is not the right of every child of God. It is your right. Hello, somebody in the house? Listen, you need to know how to combat, how to engage in spiritual warfare. Because you're a child of the living God, and he has equipped you with a powerful armory, and you will win. I said you will win. So it's important. That's why we are talking about, how to wage spiritual warfare effectively. Number two, you need to know how to wage spiritual warfare effectively so that you can be victorious in your spiritual battle. I don't know what battle you are facing now spiritually. I don't know what warfare you are going through. But believe me, God is going to be putting weapons and tools in your hands that will put you over in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Psalm 82 from verse 5, it says, they know not, neither do they understand all the foundations of the heart are hard of place. It said, I have said, you are gods and all of you sons of what? The Most High. He said, but you will die like what? Ordinary men. Just because they don't know. Listen, you cannot take advantage of what you don't know. John 8:32, you will know what? The truth. Hello? I said, hello somebody. You will know what? I can't hear you. You will know what? And the truth that you know shall do what? What sets people free is the truth that you know. I remember this in the early days of my Christian experience. I used to be oppressed a lot in my dream or my sleep by the enemy. But you know something? Once God started opening my eyes, I started hearing messages. I started reading books about spiritual warfare. And my eyes of understanding what opened. And you know something? There was this holy hunger. Say holy hunger, somebody. That came up in my spirit and said, no, this oppression cannot be. This oppression will no longer be. Now, where did I get that confidence from? From knowing. Say knowing, somebody. The Bible says in the book of Hosea 6 verse 3, it says, then shall they know when they follow on to know the Lord. That's what we call progressive revelation of God's word. When you begin to grow in the knowledge and you grow in the understanding of who you are in Christ, it puts you on a solid pedestal. And you begin to dominate and walk upon your high places. That is what I see God accomplishing in your life in the name of Jesus. Listen, the knowledge that you have access to and the knowledge that you apply determines your dominion. Amen? Amen. If you are going to be victorious in your spiritual battles or spiritual warfare that you are going through, you need knowledge. And God is sending the knowledge of His word to us tonight. Listen, the word of God is light. Listen, you know something? Where Satan rules or where Satan reigns usually or rules in ignorance. It might interest you to note that one of the symbolisms that is used in the Bible to refer to Satan is darkness. And you know, another interesting thing is that darkness also signifies ignorance. So that's where there is darkness, Satan holds sway. I see the dominion of Satan broken completely over your life in Jesus' name. That amen is not born again. If there's any area of your life where it seems that the enemy is sitting tight and sitting high, Jehovah the Lord of hosts is going to bring him down from that place through the knowledge of God's word that is coming to you in the name of Jesus. You know, knowledge instills confidence. The Bible said, they that know their God, they that know their God shall be timid? No. Daniel what? 11:32. They that know their God shall be what? I can't hear you. Shall be what? And they will do what? Tap your number and say, that's the realm you are stepping into. Tap it and say, I am stepping to the realm of exploits. Listen, it's important to be knowledgeable. It's important to know what God was saying. I think I've shared this story before. Very funny story. This man saved money to board a ship that was going somewhere. He had to save money. Say, save money, somebody. He saved the money, bought a ticket. And you know the interesting thing? The D-Day came, he boarded the ship. Now, while he boarded the ship, he had packed some snacks along with him. Because in those days, I mean, it's not like today where we fly all, I mean, by aeroplane, you know, faster means of transport. It was by ship. So he said, these snacks will sufficient to take care of me. It's going to be like 3 weeks plus. So once he got into the ship, entered into his cabin, he hardly came out. Because he was managing the snacks. Amen, somebody? Amen. And you know, if you feed on snacks, there's no way you can be strong for that long. So he stayed indoors most of the time. Then when it was like 2 weeks into the journey, he came out one day. And he was walking, and somebody said, are you new on this ship? He said, no, I've been here. I said, we don't see you. I said, where? He said, we don't see you usually when it's time to have a lunch, breakfast, dinner. I said, where? He said, the lobby. I mean, where they? He said, I can't come. I said, why? He said, are you not on this? Didn't you pay? He said, I paid. So why are you not coming? He said, I thought that the fare only covered the transportation. I mean, that's to tell you the level of his ignorance. Now, the person has, the fare does not only cover the cost of going to where you are going, but it covers all what? All the food. Now, this is a man who had paid a ticket and he had been suffering. Say suffering. You can see why it's important to have knowledge. Knowledge sets free. Truth sets free. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth that you know will what? I want to declare over somebody here once again tonight, every domination, every area of dominance of the enemy is falling apart, is falling to pieces over your life in the name of Jesus. You know, when light comes, darkness does not say, I don't want to leave. I don't know what I'm talking about. Listen, I've never seen a place when there was no light, everywhere was dark, and you know, Nepal brought light. Well, they are not Nepal anymore. Amen, somebody. I think it's PHCA now. Amen, somebody. Well, The name has changed.
It's always changing. Amen.
Whichever way. I mean, you know that when light comes, darkness does not, I mean, light does not negotiate with darkness. Hello, somebody? Where there's light, darkness what? Extinguishes. So tap your neighbor, say, every domination and influence of the enemy is falling apart. Whatever area it seems that he exercised dominion, that dominion is being crushed into pieces because the light of God's word is penetrating to your spirit tonight. Can I have an amen in the house? Why do I need to know how to wage spiritual warfare successfully? Number three, I need to know how to wage spiritual warfare successfully because you will face spiritual warfares. Let me say this to you. You may currently or presently even be in the midst of a spiritual warfare battle. All of us will face spiritual warfare. Now, if that's the case, or if that's the truth, is it not better for you to be fully aware and fully equipped on how to deal with it? Glory be to God. I remember a very funny story. There was this young girl. She was in a girl's school. And before she got born again, she discovered that in her sleep, some of her colleagues, will I call them friends? Not really friends, like classmates. They will come and oppress her in her sleep. They will oppress her so that, you see, the next day when she sees them, if they are coming like this, she will just go like this and run away. Because they will so much deal with her, you know, in her sleep, spiritually, that when she sees them physically, she will be terrified and will run away. Now, she got born again. So when she got born again, got baptized the Holy Spirit, then there was one night, the attack came again, and she ran from her room, knocked on the door of her uncle, said, "Uncle, please, I want to stay with you." She said, "Why?" He said, "Ah, they are coming again tonight. They are attacking me." I said, "Really?" So I said, no, you won't sleep there." You see, the next time it happens, the man had taught her, "This is what you do. This is how you take authority in the name of Jesus. Do this." He said, "Okay." But she was kind of like a freak. She said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Go back. Go and sleep. If he happens to do that." Now, of course, she went back. She went to sleep. And, of course, the attack came. And she took authority as she has been instructed. Now, the funny thing is that when she got to school the next morning, you see, as she was coming, the other girls saw her. They wanted to go another way. Amen, somebody. Evidently, they don't want to have anything to do with her. So, after a while, they ran into one another during the day. And the person came and said, please, I'm begging you. Don't, the kind of beating I got just tonight, I don't want to get it again in my life. I'm sorry. Please forgive me." Amen, somebody. What has changed? I said, what has changed, somebody? Listen to this. What has changed is that she knew how to what? Wage spiritual warfare. Everybody is going to face spiritual warfare. You can't afford to be running to go and meet your spiritual oversight or running to go and meet extra. You must know how to face spiritual warfare yourself. Look at the neighbor and say, "I hear." It's important because you see, the truth of the matter is that the Bible says all those who will live godly, 2 Timothy 3 verse 12, all those who will live godly in this world shall suffer persecution. Do you know that persecution is a form of spiritual warfare? Hello, somebody? Psalm 34 verse 19. It says, "Many are what? The afflictions of the righteous." Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord God delivers him out of what? So you need to be ready. Tap in him and say, "Are you ready?" That's why if you look at our text scripture, 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3, it says, "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh." There's a warfare going on. Amen, somebody? And you will face your own spiritual warfare. And that's why you need to know how to deal with it. And I believe that Jehovah is going to put you on the winning side in the mighty name of Jesus. Look at your neighbor and tap it and say, you will win. Or say this way, say, I am destined to win. I can't hear, say, I am destined to win. Look at your neighbor and say, you are destined to win. If you believe that, say better, amen.
Amen.
So it's important for us to realize that because we will face spiritual warfare, we need to know how to wage spiritual warfare. If you heard what I said, say, I do, sir. Number four, we're looking at reasons why you need to know how to wage spiritual warfare successfully. You need to know how to wage spiritual warfare successfully. Number four, I love this one, because we are living in a fallen, corrupt, and wicked world. In 1 John 5 verse 19, God's word says, emphatically in 1 John 5 verse 19, it says, now we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies where? In wickedness. How people know that this world is a dark place? It's a dark place. Otherwise, the Bible will not say in Isaiah 60 verse 1, arise and what? I can't hear you. Arise and what? Arise and shine. Why? For your light has come. It says the glory of the Lord has what? Risen upon you. Verse 2 says, darkness shall cover where? The earth. And gross darkness what? The people. It says, but the Lord shall what? Arise upon you, and his glory shall be what? Seen upon you. This world is a dark place. And guess what? You are the light. I say you are the light. You are the illumination of this world. We are the illumination. We are the source of hope. That's why Jesus said in another way, you are the salt of the earth. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be what? Because you have the light. It's difficult to hide light. You can't conceal it. That's why you need to know that, you see, that's the more reason why you need to know that no matter the kind of spiritual warfare you are involved in or engaged in, because you are the light, you are destined to win. Because light will always triumph over darkness. I said light will always triumph over darkness. The world is getting more fiercer. The world is getting more, you know, I mean, in terms of, if you look at the terrain, spiritually speaking. But for the child of God, for the one who is in Christ Jesus, we are more than conquerors. I said we are more than conquerors. I said we are more than conquerors. You know, there are nations, there are cities that are dedicated to, to demonic entities. Hello, somebody in the house? If you look at the trend of what is happening in the world today, you know, some people have come up with what they call alternate lifestyles. Lifestyles that when you look at it in line with God's word, you begin to ask yourself, how does this fit? How can this fit? Amen? I said amen. Amen. Things that are completely against the mind and the purpose of God. People are clamoring for all kinds of rights now. Amen, somebody. Amen. One of the things I was telling myself is this. If people can clamor for what is wrong, for what is ungodly, why can you not push your own light? Hello, somebody. Why are you trying to hide your own light? There's so many things that people are clamoring for now. For instance, the LGBT rights. Amen, somebody. Amen. Lesbians, gays, bisexuals, transgender. Amen, somebody. Amen. It's a very, very, very contentious issue now. Amen, somebody. Amen. And funny enough, some of these things you see, they are creeping into some sports. Amen, somebody. People are trying to advocate, listen, we are living in a toxic world. Amen, somebody. If you doubt the reality of spiritual warfare, you know, just probably, you know, have a check on some of the conversations, that is going on along those lines. I mean, things that are completely, you know, unspeakable at times. But people are feeling cool about it. Amen, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, these are the signs of the last days. We're living in a falling world. We're living in what? A falling world. We're living in a corrupt world. You and I are the light. We are the source. In fact, I believe the reason God is still keeping the universe is because of the saints that are still there. If you understand very well biblical prophecy, you know that once the rapture takes place, the world will be worse off than it is right now. Hello, somebody in the house. I say, hello, somebody in the house. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Say, because of where you are living, you need to know how to wage war. I mean, I was with a friend of mine who lives in the UK, and he was telling me of some of the things they have inserted into the curriculum, curriculum. You know, they are almost, they are teaching young people now, amen, somebody, that is cool for somebody to be, you know, instead of Mr. and Mrs. to be Mr. and Mr. or Mrs. and Mrs. I hope you know what I'm talking about. It's in the curriculum, amen, somebody. So as a teacher, you know, who is born again, amen, how do you want to, I mean, that's going to be against your faith, amen, somebody. Amen. If you're telling a small child already that it is cool, amen, somebody, it's cool, somebody. These are dangerous times, amen, somebody. Amen. But we are more than conquerors. I said we are more than conquerors. I said we are more than conquerors. Look at your neighbor and say, that's why you must know how to wage war spiritually. There's a way you fight those things. You don't fight those things just being vocal, physically. There's a way you fight. Because if you understand those things, you know there are spirits behind the operation of those things. Hello, somebody in the house. I said, hello, somebody in the house. You know, I once had this story about this believer who was living in the same compound. It's like a block of flats with this woman who was an herbalist. And, you know, this man will be complaining to her pastor, this woman, she's disobeying us, she's doing all kinds of things. So the pastor will be saying, you are the one that needs to do something about this woman. I said, it's not like she's not really disturbing me, but all kinds of people are just coming to the compound. Now, one day, say one day somebody, the herbalist decided to move in on this brother. Before you know anything, he came and the policeman said, they came, we want to see you in the station. Unknown to the brother, the herbalist has reported that this man want to kill me. So they arrested him and they locked him up and they held him up for like 3 or 4 days. And, you know, by the time he came back or came out to go and see his pastor, mosquitoes have shown him pepper. Amen, somebody. The pastor could not even recognize him anymore. He said, what happened? He said, the woman said I wanted to kill her, and when the investigators discovered it was not true, and lo and behold, they now released me. But you see, he has seen the other side. Hello, somebody. Then the pastor said, are you now going to do something about this? He says, I have to do something. Now, he doesn't have to get to that extent. Amen, somebody. By the time he returned back to the compound, he didn't go to beat her up. No, he went into a spiritual archives. Say archives. Or let me say armory. And he began to bring out those weapons. Say weapons. You know, it didn't last 1 week before the herbalist park and relocated. Light cannot stay with darkness. But you know, the reason some things are bent is because you have allowed it. So tap your neighbor, say it's time to take over. Come on, tell him, say it's time to take over. We can't take over. I remember a very funny story that a man of God shared with us while he was growing up. He said, where he lived, he said, usually around 11, 10, they'll be hearing noises. There's a tree behind the house, they'll be hearing noises. Say noises. It's not that them say everybody knows it, that a noise is coming from that tree at so time of the night.
So everybody was saying, what are we going to do? He said, don't worry. And God will take them away. So this brother said, this brother, because he wasn't a man of God then, he said, he shared a story with us. He said what he did one of the days, because it became disturbing and it became a source of fear and threat in the neighborhood. So he said one day he just went there with his lantern. Say lantern. And he stood there. He said, I know nobody. They start this meeting by whatever. So he stood there. He started praying. Koro baka sure baka. Embrodi baka suse. Ambredi gaba suse. Ibrada baka. He looked at it. Ah, 11. Oh, you got your mind shaking. No, nothing happened. La pro kasusa. 11:30. 12:30. So he went back. Second day, he came again. Suprada baka sukarapa. Do you know that was the last? That was the last time they gathered. Are you in the house tonight? The Bible says right from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God does what? Some things you are expecting God to move. God is expecting you to move. Because he has given you authority. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I've given you authority to tread upon what? Serpents and scorpions and all over the power of the enemy. And nothing. Look at your neighbor and say it's time to take over. That's why you need to know how to wage spiritual warfare. We are living in a fallen world. We are living in a corrupt world. But light triumphs over darkness. The light shineth and the darkness, what? Comprehended it not. You will be victorious in Jesus' name. I said you will be victorious in Jesus' name. Number five. Why do we need to know how to wage spiritual warfare successfully? We need to know how to wage spiritual warfare successfully because not all our battles are physical. Oh yes, there are physical battles. Oh yes, there are intellectual battles. Amen. There are emotional battles. But hear me, God's people, there are also spiritual battles. That's why you need to know how to wage war, spiritually speaking. You need to know how to wage spiritual warfare successfully. Listen, don't believe the school of thought that says that all battles are physical. All battles are not physical. All battles are not physical. I cannot forget this experience. Years ago, we had a retreat. It was in the early days of early days. Where they retreat somewhere, there's one institute in Samanda there. And while the prayer session was going on, the power of God started, moving. And before you know anything, God's power started touching people. Great things were happening. There was this family. We had a family then. There were three of them. They were coming to the church. God's power so touched one of them that she needed, deliverance. We ministered to her. And, God set her free. And she testified that she had been having some spiritual encounters, and that was the end of it. When she got home, she went to gave her mom the lowdown. Say lowdown. And it caused a stir because the mom got so hungry and sent word. She said, please what are you trying to say? I said, okay, we're sorry. Because we have to use wisdom also too. Because she was saying that there's nothing like that. Don't let anybody. Do you know something? That same woman, she faced a situation in her life. Listen to this. She had to go, the same thing that she was saying, spiritual warfare. It was that same spiritual warfare that brought her out of the struggle she was. Amen, somebody. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, spiritual warfare is real love. Not all battles are physical. That's why the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Listen, it says, but against what? Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness where? These are various levels of diabolical or demonic operations. Amen? Amen. I said amen. Amen. And you need to know. Listen, if you are addressing a spiritual matter with physical weapons, you can't get any solution. Like how one of my mentors said, he said, you don't see demons under X-ray machines or CT scan machines. You don't. Hello, somebody in the house. You don't see them. Amen, somebody. There are people who will go say, there's nothing wrong with you. From medically speaking, you're okay. But say, but I'm not feeling well. So I say, you're okay. Hello? Luke 13. Jesus was in the synagogue. There was a woman who had been bound. Say, bound. Spirit of infirmity for how many years? 18 years. Do you know that she was bent over from verse 10 to 13? Listen, only God knows the number of times she has been coming to the synagogue. One encounter with Jesus, the woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And that was it. Amen, somebody. Now, listen to this. Our being bent over was not in physical condition. Though you could see it, that you could see it physically. Amen, somebody. But there was a spiritual what? Origin behind the physical what? If you understood what I said, say amen, somebody. Amen. I always tell people, when you have exploited all natural, you know, means, you have exhausted all natural, you know, remedies, and something still persists, I always tell them, look at it from the spiritual point of view. Look at it from the spirit. Because you see, when not all battles are physical. Tapping them and saying, not all our battles are physical. Years ago, in the early days of Raymond Lioli, there was a lady who was in the choir then. She was suffering with the spirit of infirmity. There is no time, at a particular time, I can't remember what it was, two months or so, she will always fall sick. It's been going on for years. Amen, somebody. Amen. But you see, one encounter with the Lord of hosts, say one encounter. One encounter with the anointed one set her completely free. And I mean completely free. So that kind of battle is not physical. That's why you need to know how to wage war spiritually. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, you need to know how to wage war spiritually. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one very important area of our lives that God wants us to exercise dominion, or to begin to exercise dominion. And I see you walking in that dimension from today in the name of Jesus. Look at your neighbor and tap him and say, you will no longer run away. You know, at times when some people see some things people want to take to their heels. Tap your neighbor, say, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He that is in you is greater than any foe. Greater than the devil himself. Hello, somebody. Look at your neighbor, say, you shall be victorious. Number 6. Why do I need to know how to engage in spiritual warfare successfully? Number 6. Because your life, success, and breakthroughs depends largely on this. You know, at times the difference between life and death, the difference between failure and success, lies in you knowing how to wage war spiritually. Someone said, are you saying that my life may be on the line? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My success could be on the line? Yes, sir. My breakthrough could be on the line? Yes, sir. Look at Jabesh. The Bible says he was more honorable than his brothers, but there was a limitation hanging over his life. He knew it. Like they say, everybody knows where the shoe pinches them. He said, no, I know that I can be more. I know I can, but there's a limitation. The Bible says he called on the God of Israel. 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9 and 10. That's when the yoke was destroyed. There's somebody here today, you are walking into a new realm of dominion. I said you are walking into a new realm of dominion in the name of Jesus. The things that used to have dominion over you, you begin to exercise dominion over them in the name of Jesus. You were made by God to dominate. That's the blessing and the mandate of God to humanity. Genesis 1:26, and he blessed them. He blessed them, saying what? Have dominion. Tap it up and say, dominion is my heritage. Say, dominion is my heritage. Tap it and say, dominion belongs to you. There's a story I just remember now. There's a great man of God was sharing this testimony. You know, he was pastoring the church and was doing everything he knows to do. Do evangelism, do discipleship, do all coming. Put the whole of his heart. The result he was not getting was not commensurate to the effort. So he went to seek the face of God. He said, I think the second day or third day of the fast, as he was waiting upon the Lord, God just opened his eyes. He saw a little monkey-like creature just sitting on the roof of the church. Amen, somebody. Amen. He said in that vision, you see, people who are inside the church, they will see that it's the church. But once you step outside the church, it changes to something else. So the people who are outside, they are not seeing the church, they are seeing something else. And he got the message. He got out of the place of prayer. He said, he rebuked that demonic spirit. He saw that demon spirit fell off and ran, you know, and took off. That was a turning point. Amen, somebody? Hello? My life, my success, my breakthrough depends on it. It depends on it. I remember some of the experiences I've had, you know, some of my spiritual encounters or spiritual warfare. The difference between being alive and being dead hinges on the fact that one was able to take what? Dominion, spiritually speaking. Look at your neighbor and tap and say, this is what you need to know. How to wage war spiritually. I've had different kinds of spiritual encounters. The one that I remember very vividly was May 22nd, 2017. I was in the city of, I was in Columbus, Ohio. I was there to preach and I'm still trying to remember the name of it. I've forgotten now. Because it's something I can never forget. I had some of these old sons and daughters that I'd known years ago that are relocated to the U.S. who came to greet me. And I saw them, for some of them, I think one of them stayed till late in the night. And I, okay, planned to sleep maybe till 11. As I got out of bed, I wanted to sleep. I just, you know, it's like, the way I could describe it is like, someone was just like, you are going down. So I just felt, what's happening here? I'm on the bed already. How can I be going down? You know, that's what I felt in my spirit, like I was going down. Immediately I knew that, well, this is a spiritual attack. This is not your mind playing on you, amen, somebody. So I started praying. I started rebuking. I started taking that went on for like 30, 40 minutes. It was like a warfare. Amen, somebody. Amen. In fact, at a point, I felt like my spirit was, you know, trying to leave my, you know, my body. And, of course, you know, in that moment, there's nobody you can call upon. Amen, somebody. Amen. Other than God. Hello? Look at your neighbor and say, that's why you must know how to wage war. How? Spiritually. These things are real. I said these things are real. But we are victorious. I said we are victorious. And you will be victorious. I said you will be victorious. In all your spiritual warfare encounters. Jehovah will put you over in the name of Jesus. Because the weapons of your warfare, they are not carnal. They are designed to put you over. They are designed to put us in charge. And victory, you will win in Jesus' name. Look at your neighbor and tell him, say, the tide is about to turn. Because light is shining. And illumination is coming your way. If you believe that, say better, amen.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best things that can happen to you as a child of God is to know how to fight spiritually, successfully. How to wage war spiritually, successfully. That's why I believe that this is a very important thing that God wants us to get our grip and handle on. And I know that your testimony is going to be in line with God's intent and purpose in Jesus' name. Now, I want us to go a step further tonight. What is spiritual warfare itself? What is spiritual warfare? Because we need to know what spiritual warfare is all about. If we are going to wage spiritual warfare successfully, you must know what you are dealing with. You must know what you are involved in. So what is spiritual warfare? I have several, definitions here. We'll look at some of them before we wrap it up tonight. Now, the first thing I want to mention is spiritual warfare is exercising dominion over the works and the activities of Satan. Spiritual warfare is what? Exercising. Say exercising. What? Dominion. Say dominion. Over what? The works and the activities of Satan. It could be in your life, on the environment you live. You are exercising dominion. Say dominion, somebody. Someone said, can I do that? The answer is yes. Because Luke 10:19 says, behold, I've given you authority to tread upon what? Serpents and scorpions. Serpents and scorpions are used figuratively in the Bible to talk about the works. I mean, Satan's cohorts, demons, unclean spirits, and so on and so forth. And Jesus said, and nothing, say nothing. Nothing shall by any means. Nothing shall by any means. I said nothing shall by any means. So there's no reason to be afraid. Nothing shall by any means. What? Say to you, say after me, say, I am preserved. I am protected. God has not sent you to the battlefront without immunity. You know, politician talks about it, their immunity now. Amen, somebody. Governors, presidents, vice president, they are what? Immune. They have immunity. Amen, somebody. They can't be prosecuted. Amen, somebody. When they are in what? When they are in office. We have a greater immunity. I said we have a greater immunity. There's a story in Acts 16, verse 14 to 19, when Paul casted out the evil spirit in that girl that was in operation. What was Paul doing? Paul was exercising what? Dominion. Watch this. Do you know that girl was saying the truth? That girl was saying, these men, they are servants of the Most High God that what? That tell us the way of salvation. Listen, I've always said this to people. The fact that you met somebody who gave you a download of your life, since the day you were born till now, does not mean he's speaking by the Spirit of God though. There are familiar spirits. There was a young lady who left the service years ago. She left because I knew when she left. She said, Pastor, I'm going. And because we stayed back in church, she came back almost like 45 minutes in hysterics, and you could say, what is that? What's that? He said, I saw somebody. Oh, when I was going home, the person started telling me a story of my life. Hey, in fact, the person said everything I'm going through. He said, hey, I'm afraid, dude. I said, afraid of what? He said, because the person said, if I don't do this, So I asked, what is he actually do? I said, forget it. He said, Pastor, how can you say, you're just saying it. I said, forget it. He said, are you so sure? I said, the person is operating by familiar spirit. He says, go and do this. Show me in the Bible where that is. I said, that person is not different from a babalawo. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody. The Christians who have been deceived. I know somebody who, I had to cancel someone some years ago, and I said, look at you. You are struggling to give God 10%. You met somebody you hardly knew. Amen, somebody. And because the person said, the story of your life, she withdrew all the money account, doing all kinds of ishe. That's what they call it, say ishe. Look at your neighbor and tap and say, truth is coming. Say, truth sets you free today. Say, dominion belongs to me. Look at your neighbor and say, dominion is your right. It's your right as a child of God. What is spiritual warfare? Another spiritual warfare is contending with negative or evil spiritual forces or entities in order to enforce the victory you have in Christ. Enforce. Someone say enforce. Because victory is ours. I said victory is ours. You just have to enforce it. There are spiritual entities. There are spiritual forces, evil spiritual forces that God wants us to put where they belong. They belong under your feet. I said they belong under your feet. What spiritual warfare? Spiritual warfare is enforcing the victory over Satan and his cohorts based on the finished works of Christ. You enforce the victory over Satan and what? His cohorts. Based on the finished works. The works have been finished in Christ when Jesus hung on the tree. And he said it is finished. In John 19 verse 30. He was trying to reiterate to us that he has gone ahead. He said again emphatically in Revelation 1 verse 8 and 18. He said, I'm the one who was dead. I'm alive. For how long? Forever. And I have the keys. I said, I have the keys of hell and what? Death. What is spiritual battle? You see, spiritual warfare is not a physical battle. It's a battle you fight in the spirit or unseen realm. Because, hear me, God's people, there is an unseen realm. There's a spiritual realm. And it's important for us to realize this. Glory be to God. The Bible says, while we look not at the things which are seen. So some things are seen. But the things which are what? Unseen. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 to 18. Jesus has already obtained victory for us. I said, Jesus has obtained victory for us. What is spiritual warfare? I love this one. Spiritual warfare is a fight that exists in the unseen supernatural realm where God is all powerful and Satan is also in revolt. God is what? All powerful and Satan is what? In revolt. Listen to this. Listen, in the spiritual realm, God exists. Where? In the spiritual realm. Same with angels, same with devils or Satan and his cohorts. Glory be to God in the highest. I said glory be to God in the highest. What is spiritual warfare? I love this one. Spiritual warfare is a conflict. Say conflict. Conflict that we face as believers in the spirit realm, in this world. You know, some of this conflict at times takes place in our minds, our thoughts, our flesh, our bodies, or our environment. But it's a conflict. Say it's a conflict. Paul was talking about the struggle he faced in his flesh. In Romans 7. You can read from verse 17 or 15 or so. Down to 25. Was talking about the contentions that was going on. I remember a story. Years ago, there was this ministry that bought hectares, acres of land They bought it from a community, but see, that community was a Muslim. It's a Muslim environment. And there was one of these days that the leadership of that ministry went to that, you know, the site, or I think we can say site, to go and look at it and to pray. And as they were praying, say praying somebody, they just saw some young men coming with cutlass and all manners of weapons. Amen, somebody. And they were charging their direction. Amen, somebody. They had to take charge spiritually. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody. God arrested them. Amen, somebody. And when did I ask them? You see, that's why I tell people at times, when the eyes of understanding of people are open, just people don't know why they are doing what they are doing at times. Glory be to God. I've told you the story of a service was going on, and somebody just walked in, brandishing a cutlass. Amen, somebody. The usher, the security, the protocol people. And the pastor was preaching powerfully. Say powerfully. They left the pastor alone. Amen, somebody. And the person was charging the direction of the pastor. Thank God the pastor knew who he was and whom he served. Amen, somebody. By the time he shouted the name of Jesus, it's like he just came to his senses. God just fell. It's like scales falling from the eyes. See, how did I get here? Imagine what? You are here. And you came with a mission. Even somebody. Glory be to God. A lot of things happen that we take for granted that is not ordinary. I remember someone was telling me this story of someone who just said, whenever I saw this man of God on the screen, there was this hatred. Say hatred. What did he do for you? Nothing. Did he offend you? He said, nothing. I don't like him. Maybe some, what did he do you now? No. Hello, somebody. For you to know how serious it was, and the person planned, went to the office, amen, somebody? Wanted to go and execute the evil work. But thank God for spiritual discernment. Say spiritual discernment. You see, when God's power came upon it, that's when he opened up and started confessing. He said, this is why I came here. I'm not the first time out. Well, I'm the first time out with the mission. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. A lot of things that happen at times that when you look at it, you see, that's why at times when you hear some things happen and, you know, how did this happen? There's a contention. Amen, somebody. Amen. Spiritual warfare is real. And God is going to put us over in Jesus' name. Listen, we are already victorious. I need to say that. We are not trying to be victorious. We are already victorious. Don't forget the definition. You are there to enforce. Say enforce. Sometimes I say, I am an enforcer. You know, there's some people, they call them bouncers. Have you ever seen them before? They are usually very hefty. Amen, somebody. And they'll be looking like you like this. So, yes, where's your invite? He said, I just follow somebody. He said, you follow somebody. We're very sorry. You cannot enter here today. And he said, well, it's my brother. I said, where is your... You know, when they speak to you in a language that is honorable and you are not trying to cooperate. So look at it and say, tell your neighbor, say, you have to enforce the victory. You know, at times Satan is like a goat. I've never seen a goat before. Goats are very stubborn. I remember that. Where I grew up in the Lori in those days, there were people who were rearing goats all around the neighborhood. So when you see people, when you say cassava, you will go there, you chase them, they will go like this, they will still come back again. Hello, somebody in the house. That's why you must enforce. Say enforce. Ladies and gentlemen, God has given us everything that we need to be victorious, and victorious you will be in the name of Jesus. As I close tonight, I'm going to close the next 2-3 minutes. Please, I want to say this emphatically. Spiritual warfare is real. Don't let anybody tell you that it's not real. There's a lot of, thank God for modernization. Thank God for advancement. You know, humanism is also creeping gradually even into the church now. I mean, people are just, I was hearing some, and I was just shaking my head. I said, what is this? No secular humanism. Everybody, it looks, but that's not the gospel. Amen, somebody. I said, that's not the gospel. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Say, spiritual warfare is real. And you have been destined to win. Say, you have been destined to win. I think it was Baba Adebu was sharing this testimony of how a service was going on. And God just opened the eyes of one young lady. And she shouted at what she saw. She didn't know when she shouted. She said, hey, what's this? She said, that person. Amen, somebody. She like seeing a fat person. Say fat person. Sitting on the neck of somebody. And the person that they were sitting on the neck was sleeping. When the person was supposed to be when, you know... You know, at times I wonder, I'm saying this with all humility, I wonder, in an anointed service, I don't know how somebody can sleep. I don't know, amen, somebody. When things are happening all around, amen, somebody. Those things are not ordinary at times. They're not ordinary. When things are happening, look at your neighbor and say, your blessing will not pass you. The devil is a loser. I said the devil is a loser. Because the tide is turning. You are claiming and taking what belongs to you. You are gaining dominion from today. Can I have a better amen? Rise up on your feet. We'll pick it up next week. Lift up your two hands and say after me, say, Heavenly Father, I believe your word. I receive it by faith. I declare by faith tonight that I will be victorious in my spiritual warfare because you have designed and destined me to win. Today, I declare that I'm destined to win. I declare that I rebel against every oppression of the enemy in any area of my life. I exercise my dominion. I declare Christ's dominion in that area of my life. I begin to gain dominance, control, because the Son of Man has set me free. I am light, not darkness. I am light, not darkness. Light triumphs over darkness. Therefore, I will triumph. I will overcome every spiritual battle that I may be going through right now. I am victorious. I am a winner. I am victorious. I am a winner. I declare in the name of Jesus, victory is mine. Victory is mine. I reign and I rule in life by Christ Jesus. The blood of Jesus puts me over. I am a deliverer. I am an enforcer. I am a deliverer because I am light. I'm light to my world. I'm illumination to my world. And I declare the God of peace, the God of peace gives me victory. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Come on, go out and begin to worship him tonight.